You know, you go through the announcements and the singing, and there's probably subject matter for about 15 sermons. And I just wanted to make a comment about prayer. I'm so thankful that you folks are dedicating some time to prayer. And you know, often as Christians, we take a look at the subject in prayer and say, whoa, if you ask anything in his name, he's going to give it to you. So we use that as an excuse to get stuff. Well, that's not it. It's the ability that God has given us to communicate with the God of the universe. And in the words of my old father, whenever I told him I was praying for him, he'd often say to me, Danny, always remember that when you pray, the God of the universe stops and listens. So what happens to our prayers? I don't have it looked up, but you can look this up right now if you want. But what happens to our prayers is that somehow, and I don't know how God does this, but he takes your prayers and he stores them up in little containers. And you get that in Revelation chapter 5. It says that they came before him with harps and golden vials or golden bowls full of the prayers of saints. There they are. God does it somehow, I don't know. But anyway, in chapter 8, we find out what happens to those prayers. In chapter 8, as the angel starts bringing out these golden vials, it says he adds incense and the prayers of saints, and the smoke goes up, and the prayers of saints become the aroma of heaven. When you pray during your dedicated time, just remember that your communication with God will eventually become the aroma of heaven. I could preach a whole sermon on that, but we won't. You know, we were supposed to, I got a message from Steve Swaim saying, you're glad we're coming to Kenilworth on the 5th. He said, and your subject is 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. And I went, really? And so I didn't know that, and I looked it up. Great chapter. I mean, it's a chapter where you could preach a whole sermon on the subject of, and they took the staves out of the Ark of the Covenant. There's so much in that. And I would encourage you to meditate on that subject of the presence of God having come to final rest in the temple. And right now, where's the presence of God's final rest right now? In the church of God. The staves have been drawn out because the work of Christ is complete at the cross of Calvary. Just a little tidbit for you to look at that chapter 8 of 1 Kings. We're not going to look at that this morning. I asked permission, and I got it actually in writing, saying that, yeah, you can go ahead and preach your own sermon. You don't have to take the subject we recommend, so that's what I'm doing. If anybody wants to see the document, it's in text format from Steve Swaim saying, go ahead. So here we are. I thought, you know, welcome to the first Sunday of the decade. This is not just the new year. This is the decade. And, in the words of Barbara Walters, welcome to 2020. Here we are. And the Lord has left us here. And I think it would be good for us to take a look backwards and just reflect on the past year, maybe the past month, the past little while, and ask ourselves, how well are we doing spiritually for the Lord? So I'm going to turn us all into farmers this morning, and we're going to have a look at the crops that we're producing for the Lord. But before we do, I just wanted to take a look at what is it that the nation of the United States of America is concerned with. And, you know, if you read the news articles, they focus on everything to do to impeach Trump. They do, you know, all the stuff. So I thought the best place to find out where is it that the nation is interested in looking is go to Google and pull up all of the subject matter that the population Googled for their interest. That's where your interest lies. And so we're going to take a look at the top 10 Google searches done by the population with regard to news subjects in the United States of America or the world. Number 10, we're going to count down. This is the top 10 countdown. California wildfires and earthquakes. Well, you know how soon we forget. There were a lot of fires out there. There were earthquakes out there. We, as a family, recognize some of these issues because we have relatives out there. But that was one of the subjects that was Googled. Number 9, Equifax data breach settlement. 147 million people were affected. That's where your data was stolen off of Equifax to allow people to see who you are, what you do, take your identity, take your credit card information, go on a buying spree with your credit card, all that kind of stuff. They settled last year for $425 million. That was the settlement that Equifax had to pay. So if you do the math of the 147 million people, if everybody got their piece of the 425 million, you and I would each get a check for $2.89. That's the math. Something wrong with that picture. Meanwhile, somebody's driving a car in my name. How soon we forget. Government shutdown, December 2018 into January 2019, was the longest shutdown in the nation's history. Did anybody notice? The government wasn't working for about a month. And this was Googled, and you know how soon we forget. Number 7. Now this one comes a little closer to our hearts. Sri Lanka bombing, 250 dead, 500 wounded. Our Indian friends, our Indian brethren assemblies in India and Sri Lanka now have a direct gospel outreach into this area. So Abraham Thomas, who we all know quite well, is now active in an outreach in Sri Lanka as a result of this bombing. And I'm going to take time right now to highlight some of the items that are going on in India. George spoke to me earlier saying, would you give a little update on India? So I just thought, well, I'll just mold it in here as to what's happening. And a lot of it is the impetus of bombings like this and persecution that takes place. I can speak specifically of India. I was over there March, April. Charlotte and I want to go back. We're being very careful about when we go back because India now is in the top 10 countries of persecution in the world today. If you take persecution and break it down into its components, you got persecution at home, persecution at work, persecution on the street, verbal persecution. But when it comes to violence against Christians, India is number 2 in the world behind Pakistan. And so we need to be very careful because some of the areas that we go up into the north, they're being persecuted very heavily. We're in contact with a fellow by the name of Jitendra Kumar and his wife and 3 children. They're in a little assembly in the state of Bihar in a place called Dalsingsari. And they were physically beaten and to the point where 14 of our brethren from the assembly there were in hospital. One of them, his sight came back, but there was danger that he might lose his sight because he was beaten around the head. This is going on in India, and it's not just Sri Lanka and the things that we read in the news. I want to bring it close to home. These are places that are in assemblies that are connected directly to us, that we know in the open brethren assemblies who are experiencing persecution this way. In between December 23rd and December 31st, there was a conference that took place in a place called Chekardarpur in the north of India in the state of Jharkhand. There's the Ho tribe up there. The Ho tribe are animists. They worship the spirits of the ancestors. Very evil place. There's a lot of demon possession in the area. And the whole tribe is comprised of about 2.5 million people. Our brother P. Sampson and his wife Kalawani are there full-time evangelists along with other evangelists in the area. And over the last 15 years, 7 assemblies have been established in the area of the Ho tribe. There, over the last 6 or 8 months, there's been a lot of people come to know the Lord as their Savior in that area. So they decided to have a conference, and the conference was to pull believers together, new believers, to teach them the milk of the Word, to get them going into the basics of Scripture. And they were expecting about 80 or 85 to show up. 121 showed up, and we were able to teach them the Word of God for those 8 days. I was able to Skype in with them and speak to this group, and we had some interaction. They were able to see me. I was able to see them. I was able to answer their questions by pointing at them through Skype. Technology is amazing. But the end result is that they were able to get good Bible teaching and do so without being persecuted. Now, the assembly hall is inside a walled compound, and so what they do is folks have to arrive at 8:30 in the morning. If you're not there by 8:30 in the morning, the gates are shut, and the breaking of bread service carries on and so on, so that the persecution doesn't get inside the gates. So people are banging on the gates and making all kinds of noise. But the point is that these are issues that are going on in the world today, particularly in India, particularly with folks that Charlotte and I speak to. I speak to these folks every day of the week. And I mean that every day of the week. I'm on WhatsApp or the phone with them, learning about the work of the Lord in India. It's vibrant. It's moving forward. There's a young evangelist in Orissa who went out into some villages about 40 miles into the jungle, and he texted me 2 days ago. He says, 15 people have accepted the Lord as their Savior. He says, please pray, because now we're teaching them the Word of God. And that's Tabir Bog. That's another evangelist. I could go on. I could spend the whole hour giving you updates. But what I'm saying is that here's an issue that took place in Sri Lanka that the nation of the United States of America was interested enough to Google, because people died. You and I should be intimately more concerned with the folks that are connected to us in our own assemblies. And so I would encourage you to pray for our dear brethren there in India at this time, and the ones that are going to this outreach going forward. So, George, I trust that that's a little flavor, a little taste in your mouth as to what's going on. I could talk to you hours. I could take you through many, many states in India where the Word of God is going forth vibrantly, but we just don't have the time. If I go over time, I know I'm going to get fired. So, let's move on. 6, how soon we forget. El Paso Walmart shooting, 22 dead, 24 injured. You know, this type of stuff is happening to the point where we're numb. Everybody remembers Columbine because it's so fresh, and it was one of the first ones that happened. Now they happen. We need to be sensitive to where we live and the evil that's around us. Number 5, Brazil hosts and wins the Copa American Soccer Championship. Why would you Google a subject like this where people run around a field for 90 minutes and score once? I don't get it. I mean, hockey at least score 3-4 times. But anyway, this was Googled, and this was one of the focuses of the nation of the United States of America. Here's number 1. Area 51 is threatened to be invaded by civilians to look for aliens. People Googled this. There were folks that were going to invade Area 51, and they were saying, don't come because you're going to be arrested and all that kind of stuff. People Googled this, and I don't know whether they were interested in finding out whether there are aliens or not, but anyway, I'm going to comment on this a couple of slides later. The women's U.S. soccer team wins the World Cup. Yay! Then sues the Soccer Federation for gender discrimination. It didn't actually give me goosebumps. Number 2. This one we know. Notre Dame Cathedral burns in Paris, France. That was a Google item that people were very interested in. And number one, the Hurricane Dorian devastates the Bahamas. Category 5, 185 mile per hour winds. That was Googled. That was the most Googled item of 2019. So what's the conclusion? Politics and impeachment didn't even make the list. Interesting, isn't it? That I guess the folks that were going to invade Area 51 to look for aliens probably redirected their attention to Washington, D.C., because that's where they live. Let's move on. Now you know where our hearts are in this wonderful nation of the United States of America and my own country, Canada, to the north. We get hung up on such incredible subject matter. So I'm going to ask you how your year turned out. Now, I do have a video. It doesn't have sound. It does have sound, but there's no talking or anything. I'm just going to play this video for you. I want you to watch it. You'll see words flashing up and see where this thing takes us. Whoop. Of course it's not going to play. It normally automatically plays. I'm sorry. I'm sorry? There was a slide here that actually had it, and it really just gave a picture of what life is like around us, and really it's a video of a recycle garbage dump, and you see all of these conveyor belts, and they're all over the place dumping garbage and recycled items into these piles of refuse. And the words that come up is that we're surrounded by all this stuff that's being produced around us called anger, called TV, called spending, called worry, called all these things. And it dumps all of this into this huge pile of garbage. And it stinks. And I thought it just is a real description of the geographical area where we live. That we as Christians live in the middle of all this kind of stuff. And so having said that, I can't play the video, I apologize, but we're going to move on, and we're going to start out with this verse. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking you this morning to think back to the day you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you remember it? I remember the day that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And we have joy in this. But the verse that I'm reading here is specific to that day. Because that was when the day that the Lord started a work in you that is going to continue on until you're taken home or till the Lord comes. And I think we wake up at times and we forget about the fact that when we wake up and leave the house, that's the continuation of the work that the Lord has started in your soul. And the work continues. Because the challenge is, what are we doing for the Lord? Are we really in tune with the will of God in our lives so that this work can continue? Is it hampered in any way? You know, there's times when I see a work being built on a house and the work stops for a reason. And the reason the work stops on a house is because they ran out of supply of some raw material to keep the house building. And so, you know, as an analogy in our own lives, are we running out of raw materials? Where is this material coming from? From the Word of God. It's from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the energy that we have in our lives by being indwelt by the Spirit of God. We're here because God allowed the seed of God's word to be planted in our lives. God planted a seed in your life that is alive. It's the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it should be growing. We should be growing in our souls. God has a purpose for you. And today we're going to ask ourselves, how is the seed growing? If you look back over your life, over the last year, did the seed grow? Did you improve in your spiritual life? Were you growing? I was reading in 1 Samuel the other day, and there's times when verses pop off the page and hit you in the face. And here's the verse. It says, Hannah made a little coat for Samuel year by year. And we read that, and that's nice. The mother was caring for the son, and so she made a little coat year by year. Well, why did she make a coat each year? It's because he was growing, and he needed a new coat. And so my question to myself was, did the coat that I had spiritually last year, is it going to still fit this year, or am I going to need a bigger coat because my spiritual life is greater? Something to think about. The other thing is, what kind of fruit are we producing for God in comparison to the mounds of garbage that's all around us? You know, you walk into one of these junkyards, and I can remember as a kid, couldn't afford the part for the car, so you go down to the junkyard to get the part for the car. And I remember leaving one day and thinking, somebody could throw 100 gum wrappers into this place and no one would notice. And I sometimes think that that's the Christian life in where we live, that the garbage and the confusion and the nonsense that's around us is so great that we're not even noticed. We need to be living in such a way that the light is so bright that will shine in that darkness, in that garbage. And so the challenge this morning is, how are we doing in comparison to the garbage that's all around us? So I thought, let's have a look at the parable of the sower. There he is. We often use this parable or see this parable as it relates to the gospel. Absolutely true. The sower goes out to sow. The gospel goes forth. And the gospel goes to whosoever will. And we know that. But we have the categories of where the seeds fell. And I would like to take a look at it from a different perspective so that we look at the seeds falling into various areas with regard to the gospel. But when we get to the good ground, I think there's some challenges for us in our own souls to look at. And so let's take a look at this. I'll read the... We can look at Matthew 13, 3 to 9. I'll read it. And it says, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I got a pair. I'm listening. I trust you do as well. Because this is the Lord speaking to those that are around him in a parable. And so after it's over, the disciples said to him, what's your point? He says, here's the point. Matthew 13, 18 to 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Such poignant language, becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So let's take a look at the categories. The wayside. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. You know, we have outreaches and we do things for the Lord. And we speak the word of God to as many as will receive it. But as we minister the word of God, let's always remember that the devil wants to snatch it away. And, you know, the verses in Ephesians chapter 6 are so accurate when it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of the air. When something's in the air, you have no detection of it, but the devil is standing there ready to snatch away the seed that is being sown. And so we always need to be cognizant of the fact that when we are out preaching the word of God, presenting the word of God, that the devil is waiting to give a distraction to come and snatch it from your heart. Allow the word of God to go into your heart, because there's no place for the devil in your heart. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives there, and there's no room for the devil to snatch anything away. Make sure it gets into your heart. And so here we have the wayside. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these categories because I want to spend a lot of time on the good ground, because I think there's challenges there. Stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The key point here is no root. We receive the word of God, but if we don't water it, if we don't read, if we don't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that root's not going to go down. If you don't have any root, you're easy to pluck up. You know, every once in a while I get ambitious and pull weeds out of my lawn. Not often, trust me. If it's green, I'm happy. But there's times when I'll run across a weed and I try to pull it. You know how sometimes you grab it and you pull it and the top comes off? But the root stays in? And if the root is not dealt with, then it's going to grow again. Point I'm making is that that's a two-edged sword. If we allow the root of the flesh to get down, we're not going to be able to get rid of it. But if you allow the root of God's word to get into your life and to develop and to grow, that's where your spiritual sustenance is going to come from. We're going to end on the verse of the Lord Jesus Christ as the vine and we're the branches. That's where we get our sustenance from. But always remember that we need to get the roots down. Stony places. Thorns. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. It doesn't say he dies. It says he becomes unfruitful. There's nothing worse than seeing a plant that is planted for food and there's no fruit. The Lord took a pretty dim view of that fig tree that didn't have any figs on it. And he killed it. We need to recognize that there's stuff that comes into our lives, the deceitfulness of riches, the worries of life, the garbage that's all around us. That's what chokes our ability to produce fruit for the Lord. The Lord wants fruit in your life. He didn't leave you here to be a bump on a log. He left you here for a purpose. And so he left you here to be fruitful for him, to have that relationship, that others would see the example in your life and to be attracted to Christ. And so let's take a look at the thorns. And we're going to take a look at some of the thorns that come up in our lives later on. Let's take a look at the good ground. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. You know, always read the word of God and spend time on what you've read to allow the understanding of the word of God get down into your heart, because that's where the roots are going to develop. If you read the word of God and don't take time to try to understand it, you're not going to be bearing a lot of fruit for the Lord. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. And so I took a look at this verse, and everybody goes, "And yay, the seed fell on good ground, and now we've got some producing 100, and some 60, and some 30. Yay, we've got Christians." But I'm looking at that, and I ask myself the question, why is somebody at 100%? Why is somebody at 60%? And why is another person at 30%? And so I'm going to ask each one of us to reflect on our lives and take a look at 2019 and say, okay, how much did that seed that is growing in my heart produce last year? Am I producing at 100%? Where do you fit in? What causes 100, 60, and 30? What are the causes that are there? You know, it's interesting, if you go on later into that chapter, Matthew 13, 24 to 30, it talks about the tares. And, you know, the enemy came in and sowed the tares. The tares looked exactly like the crop that was being grown for produce. I believe it was wheat. I'm not sure. Maybe it was oats or barley, whatever. But the tares looked just like it. And so the servants go to the master and say, "Hey, should we pull it up?" He says, "No. At harvest time, we'll deal with that, because that's when it's going to become evident. At the end, when harvest is taking place, you're going to see the plants that have the fruit, and you're going to see the plants that don't have the kind of fruit that we want." So what is a tare? I looked it up. It's a crop. It's a plant that grows in the Middle East. It's very well known. It grows in the Middle East. And it says it contains a poisonous soporific drug. And what does that drug in that plant do? It induces deep sleep or causes one to become drowsy or lethargic. I thought, wow. What in my life is causing me to be drowsy or lethargic when it comes to the Word of God? Are we allowing the tares to be planted in our lives that's going to inhibit our ability to produce fruit? Is our testimony being affected by the effects of the tares? Are we becoming lethargic? There's a warning in Revelation on that very subject, where the verse is spoken of Laodicea. He says, you know, you're neither hot nor cold. You're in the middle. You're lukewarm. And God says, you know, I really wish you were either hot or cold. Pick one. But at least stand out. And he says, as a result, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And so as we consider the good ground that the seed fell on when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we get excited that the seed is growing. But then we come to the point where we consider the 100, the 60, and the 30-fold production that's in that plant. And so we're going to take a look at these fruits. What is it that we're producing in our lives that would cause us to be either 100 or 30 or somewhere in the middle? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we were indwelt by the Spirit of God. You know, we kind of let that kind of roll off our tongues sometimes. But I want us to really understand the impact of what that means. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Lord was able to say to his disciples, I'm going to send you a comforter. And so in Acts at Pentecost, we find that the Spirit of God came down and indwelt all the Jews that were in that room. Then a few chapters later, it's either chapter 6 or chapter 8, the Spirit of God indwells the Samaritans. They were neither Jew nor Gentile. They're kind of in the middle. Then you get to Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, and the Spirit of God indwells the Gentiles. So there you have examples where anyone who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are indwelt by the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile or somewhere in the middle. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul highlights that with the Corinthians, and he says to the Corinthians, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And so the recognition is, and the impact is, that we have been indwelt by the third person of the Godhead, collectively and individually. And so the exhortation here is, walk in the Spirit. In other words, just don't allow them to live there, but walk in accordance to what the will of God is in your life with the Spirit of God indwelling you. And now it talks about the fruits of the flesh. And we don't have time to read the verses, but he says, you know, the fruits of the flesh are at enmity, are in contradiction with the fruits of the Spirit. And they will always conflict one against the other. And so what are the fruits of the flesh? There's the list of them. You can read it in Galatians chapter 5. And it starts in verse 19. Adultery, uncleanness, idolatry, hatred, jealousies, selfish ambitions, heresies, murders, revelries, fornication, lewdness, sorcery, contentions, outbursts of wrath, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, and the like. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is, this is the stuff that can come into your life to hamper your ability to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the thorns. Those are the things that are the distractions. Those are the things that are going to cause you to not live your life in accordance with the will of God that He has for you. And so I would encourage you to take the time to reflect on 2019 and maybe even beyond, and ask yourself the question, what am I allowing in the way of tares to come into my life that are going to inhibit my ability to produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that we want to bear fruit for the Lord? What is fruit for the Lord? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you take a look at the items on the left, those are the things that are going to cause folks to take a look at our lives and say, I don't want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to have anything to do with the gospel. Because they're involved in this. They go to church. They look holy. But in actual fact, they're walking a different life. And so I would encourage you to take a look at these things. Now, some of them are serious. What about selfish ambitions? Spend time thinking about it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These are the things that will be fruit in our lives that other people are going to see that are going to attract them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to a group over in India, and I asked them what their favorite tree was. And they said a mango tree. They love mangoes over there. So I said, so you love the mango tree. When is it that you go to that tree? And the answer was, when there's mangoes on it. I said, are there times then you walk right by a mango tree? Yep, when there's no mangoes on it. What a lesson. Is there anything in your life, the fruit in your life, is it there that would attract somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ because the fruit is attracting them. And so I leave that as a challenge as to the fruit in our lives. Let's move on, and we'll wrap it up. So I'm going to ask you, what category of fruit producer for God are you? Are you at 100? Are you tracking at 60? Are you tracking at 30? You know, I don't think that any of us individually are qualified to answer those questions. I'm not qualified to answer that in my own life. Somebody asked me, what are you producing for the Lord? What do you say? But there is a scripture that says, by their fruits you shall know them. And it's the others that are around us that can assess what our walk is with the Lord by the fruit that we're producing for him. And so I would encourage you to take a look at it from that perspective and to ask yourself that question. There it is. By their fruits ye shall know them. And so we get to know each other by how we attract others to the Lord. And Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So my encouragement to you is not just reflect and get discouraged on the past year, but let's make that commitment in our lives to walk with the Lord, to be focused on the category of production that we have in our life in amongst all the garbage that's being produced around us. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk in it. In other words, let's make it evident that we're walking in the Spirit. And here we come. Here's the key. John 15. The Lord says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. In other words, if we're abiding in Christ, if we're walking in the Spirit, the result is that we're going to produce fruit for him. We're not producing fruit for other people. We're producing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the point that I'm raising here is we can analyze our lives in past. We can analyze the 100, 60, and 30. We can analyze our lives to death. But always remember that the fruit that we produce is through Christ. Through our indwelling, our walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, through our abiding in the vine. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do without him. For without me, you can do nothing. A little review of 2019, little challenge for 2020 and beyond. Let's take a look at the category of fruit that fell on the good ground many years ago when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And what happens when a plant doesn't produce the way we do? We go and we stir up the soil. We pour water and fertilizer on it, and it starts to flourish again. And I think that's a good analogy for us going forward. All of us are alive in Christ. Maybe the dirt needs to be stirred up a little bit. Maybe we need to read the Word of God a little more and pray a little more to put fertilizer on it to get us to produce at 100-fold. But the end result is we should be producing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy New Year. I wish you the Lord's blessing. It's an honor to be here at Kenilworth. May the Lord continue to bless you here. Let's commend ourselves to him in prayer. Father, thank you that we can spend a little time in the Word of God that would challenge us as we are on the cusp of this decade. Lord, help us always remember that we could hear the shout any minute to be taken home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But in the meantime, Lord, there's things that need to be done. There's fruit that needs to be produced for you. Your name needs to be held up as the only Savior of sinners. May we do so faithfully and diligently. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to remain faithful until the work is complete in our life, unto the day of Jesus Christ. We commend ourselves into your hands for a rich blessing now. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.